Welcome back to Matheson Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, over the weekend, NATO planes had to scramble over the Baltic and the Black Sea. Russian planes, they stayed in international airspace. They did not invade NATO airspace. The planes from the NATO nations swarmed up to track them and send them back. NATO, in response to that, is also conducting a large ops operations in Poland. What does that mean? Every once in a while, our military, and especially our allies, do operations. Part of it is training. I remember when I was in the Navy in the Mediterranean, we would do ops with the Greek Navy, do ops with the French Navy and the Italian Navy. And what it is you go out in the Med, and it's kind of benign. And frankly, in those days, it was kind of fun because we were the preeminent military power in the world. This is the early 1970s. And you simulate warfare against an enemy fleet. You didn't come right out and say it, but that was the Russian fleet. And you just learn to integrate your forces. And the Army does the same kind of thing. Part of it is training. Part of it is to send a message. Part of it is to send a message to the Ruskies that we have a boots on the ground and don't even think about it. Don't even think about starting something. So the NATO planes, Russia is starting to push. Belarus, just to the west of Russia, Alexander Lukashenko, their autocrat, fascist dog that he is, he's a Putin servant, engineered a fake election. People who tried to vote and weren't authorized by him were pushed away or shot. And then he said he won. Then he pushed through a constitutional referendum saying that Belarus can merge with Russia. Anybody who disagreed, which was 90% of the people, pushed away or shot. And that quote passed, end quote. It's the kind of guy he is. Anyway, he invited Russia to put nuclear weapons in Belarus against the wishes of the Belarusian people. Why is that significant? Because Poland does not have a border with Russia, but Poland has a big border with Belarus. Finland has a border with Russia, and so does Estonia. And by being able to put nuclear weapons in Belarus, theoretically, Russia could put nuclear weapons within eye distance of the borders of Eastern Europe. Now, are they going to do that? At some point, they have to be very, very concerned. We have what's called a triad for the word. It's a three-part way of launching nuclear weapons. By land, by air, and by sea. And by land, they're the ICBMs, many of them buried in North Dakota and places like that. By air are bombers, and sea are nuclear submarines. And of all of them, they're all essential, but the nuclear submarines are probably the most important because we have technology that no other nation has. No other nation has. At most, they have a handful of nuclear submarines, and their nuclear submarines are a danger to their crew, not to anyone else. They've sunk. Putin hasn't been able to retrieve them. These guys suffocate down there. But ours are top of the line. Ours are state of the art, and we have them all over the place. We have them in the Mediterranean. We have them in the Baltic. No one says whether we have them in the Black Sea. It's hard to see how we do because they'd have to go through the Dardanelles. But you don't know. But it doesn't matter. We have them in the Indian Ocean, and we're within striking distance of everywhere in Russia. And this is not a pleasant thing to say, but the ones that are deployed have their sights on a specific target in Russia all the time. My cousin Johnny Flynn was an electrician's mate on a Nuki sub out of New London, Connecticut, early on in the Nuki program. This is the 1960s, and they had golden blue crews. And what they do is they go out for 60 days, they come back for training and R&R, be with their families, and then another ship goes out and takes their place. Another boat, I should say. A submarine's called a boat. And I forget if he was gold or blue crew, But when I say they go out, they go out, then they go underwater, and they stay underwater for 60 days, sometimes just sitting on the bottom somewhere. The food is good. It's not all that dark because they have good lighting. It takes a special kind of person to be in a submarine for 60 days. They do psychiatric tests. There was a great admiral, Hyman Rickover, and he was the father of the nuclear submarine program, and he personally would interview every naval officer who wanted to be on a submarine. And after they'd taken psychological tests, and these were all top of the class at Annapolis or in their colleges, he would sniff out the one. You don't want a guy down there for 60 days going nuts or pulling the wrong lever or pressing the wrong button. You see what I'm saying? And also, everybody on that crew had to be able to discharge everybody else's function. So if there's something wrong, and you could be a cook, and you would know what to do. Top of the line, our Navy's top of the line. And Putin knows this. The only concern I have with Putin, he knows that if he pulls anything nuclear, he's toast, Moscow's toast, St. Petersburg is toast, all of Russia's toast. But the thing is, a lot of other things will be toast too. And the problem with that is, this guy has complete authority over there, apparently, to press the button. And that's one man who I don't think is truly mentally there. He's a sadist. And if he decides to commit suicide by cop, what do we do with that? By suicide by cop, I mean there is a phenomenon where somebody wants to commit suicide, just runs at a bunch of cops with a gun drawn. And they have to shoot him to save themselves. So this is all in the back of my mind, in the back of my mind. But right now, I think we are publicly and well putting pressure on Russia by scrambling our planes. The minute one of their people goes into the Black Sea, goes, and I mean over it, the Baltic, because they can't go over Eastern Europe because that's NATO airspace. The other good thing about this is the West is ramping up aid, all of us, not just the United States, but the UK especially, even Germany, which has chickened out and is secretly pro-Russia because they like authoritarianism. They have it in their blood after the Nazis. And even they are sending more heavy equipment now. France is. And part of it is this, part of it is expectations. Early on, everybody thought that the Russians would win in 2 days. Early on this show, you heard me say many times, Joe, send them the planes. This business about saying, well, they're just a little league team. Russians are the professional team. It'll be over soon. Baloney. These people are fighting for their lives. Well, now the West is starting to come around to that realization. And here's what they're doing. They're releasing the MiGs, MiG planes, which they should have released 2 months ago, which we were calling for on this show. And then what the United States is doing is replacing them with F-16s. So in Poland and Czechoslovakia and elsewhere, they can send all this good heavy equipment. And they know the United States is going to replace it with even more modern equipment. Well, my question is, why aren't we sending the modern equipment to Ukraine? We're starting to a little bit with tanks and artillery, but come on, come on. And our F-35s are state of the art. A handful of F-35s would wipe out the entire Ruski Air Force and the 26 killer ships that are sitting out in the Black Sea. Why aren't we doing something for that? All right, I'm getting carried away. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to a break. People just came on the line. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break, 844-967-2789.